3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Hi, it's Shalena, and you are now listening to the Shalena Folks Talk Show, where mom entrepreneurs gather to discuss how we balance motherhood and entrepreneurship. I'm so glad you're here. Grab your coffee or whatever gets you going, and let's start the conversation.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go! On today's show, we're talking about something that everyone wants more of. Money, honey. I have Nikkei Willis, mother of four, wife, Forex and cryptocurrency trader, entrepreneur, and director for a local nonprofit in Columbus, Ohio. Her core dedication, passion, and focus over the past decade has been to study and master the art of finances for the purpose of wealth creation for women with families and businesses. I am so excited about this show today. We are about to learn so much more about how to manage our money like the bosses that we are. Are you ready for this show? I am. Let's go. So tell me more about what you do as a Forex and cryptocurrency trader. Like, what the heck is Forex and cryptocurrency anyway?
Right. I get that a lot. And, you know, the foreign exchange market has actually been around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But the market was recently deregulated in 2008. So individuals like, you know, you and I, probably most of your followers, mm-hmm. Wouldn't have heard about it because you had to have $3 million Ooh. To even be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You had to have about six figures to learn how to trade in the market. And then wow. you had to have at least $100,000 to be able to place a trade. But now, thanks to the internet and online brokers, we can leverage. So it's similar to like how Sam's Club, you get discount pricing because they're able to buy these big bulk items, so the brokers, they bulk in the orders so that people like you and I can invest with as little as 10 cents and be able to multiply our money versus waiting on just a percentage of return. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially buying and selling different economies from around the world, including cryptocurrencies.
Okay. And you said something about if you weren't in it before 2008, you wouldn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And there was some type of decline in 2008. Is that because of the
Yes.
economy, and the economy went down.
Right. So I don't know if you remember when George Bush was talking about deregulating all these things. And I think for me, essentially, the focus was on like, oh, we're going to lose jobs because mm-hmm. a lot of jobs will move overseas. But what that also did was deregulate the foreign exchange market, which then allowed things for online brokers to come in and introduce things like leverage. So you can open a Forex trading account with as little as $10. I don't recommend that. We usually recommend you start with about $100 to $500. Okay. But what that allows is, because it's a percentage of multiplying your money versus a percentage of return, it allows people to make very lucrative investments in a short amount of time with a little bit of startup. So especially for the reason why I wanted to focus there in our community mm-hmm. is because a lot of times we have a little bit of capital to start with. And this is what allows people to build that up, to be able to pay off debt, to be able to launch their nonprofit without having to worry about funding or start their businesses and what mm-hmm. they're really passionate about.
Good. So now, as the founder of Money Honey University, yes. I love that name. Tell me, what led you to create Money Honey University?
Well, really, it was birthed out of me, you know, mm-hmm. my own personal crisis, really. Right. In our family and in our household. My husband and I first met, we both had two jobs, mm-hmm. Had no money and even less time, and I was a single mother, and I was saving every penny that I had, right. but it became very evident over that year that this is not going to build yeah. my way to wealth. And to be quite honest, as a child, I've lived on both sides of the tracks, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm pretty sure which side
yeah,
I wanted
to be on.
Exactly. I wanted to land on as an adult, and I couldn't see a way out for myself with what I was currently doing. I'm doing everything everybody taught me to do. I got good grades. I went to mm-hmm. university. I'm working in the field that I'm right. passionate about, which is I'm a teacher by trade.
Okay.
And then now I have two jobs where I'm supposed to be bringing in this double income, but I'm being taxed more. Like, what is happening, you know? So my own personal crisis led me to really say, okay, well, what is something I can do that I'm learning at the same time, finances for myself and for my daughter at the time. And then my husband tricked me into marrying him. I was like, okay, yeah. And, you know, you think like, okay, now I got two incomes, really four, because like mm-hmm. I said, we were both working two jobs. And then we got these really good jobs at Chase. Okay. And so we were super, I mean, excited, like, oh, we're rich, you know. And about 3 months later, we were like, oh, okay, we're back to the check to check, you know. And it's kind of like how people talk about, you know, the grass is always greener on mm-hmm. the other side. Well, if you had that grass, the problem is you come there too. So if you weren't right. taking care of the grass you already had, even if you move to a home with greener grass, right, you go on the other side, now you're there. Exactly. So that grass is going to go right. away.
You didn't fix the issue.
Because you don't know. Exactly. Right. The issue is your mindset mm-hmm. and what you're doing. So that allowed me to take a different approach of, okay, it's not about how much money I'm bringing in. It's about, do I know what to do with it once it's here? And so that's what really launched me into making sure I'm not overpaying my taxes, making sure that the money is being managed correctly mm-hmm. and I'm giving it instructions on what I wanted to do. And then a big part of that was learning how to invest to be able to pay off debts and stuff like that.
So now your background, you said that you're an educator. Mm-hmm. So what type of educator? What?
So I started in early childhood development, okay. And I ran very far, far away. but one of the things that I find is that, you know, God is a God of process, mm-hmm. and if he has something designed for your life, you'll always end up in that position.
Yes, absolutely.
So every church I went to, I would end up in children's ministry. Every, like my position now, I'm a director of youth and family services uh-huh. for a local nonprofit. And that is, I still instruct with the youth directly, which you wouldn't necessarily expect for a director, but it's like everything that I put my hands on, the Lord ends up putting me in a position of teaching. And I really have always lived by this philosophy that, you know, we're just kids with long legs mm-hmm. and, you know, we're still trying to figure it out and convince the kids that we know what we're doing. And so that led me to be in an arena of starting to teach more adults, especially when it comes to finances. And it's really just things that I was able to do for my large family. We're a family of six. And I believe that if anyone takes those same things, it can work very well in their own households. Yep.
So I asked about your background in education because it sounds like you work mostly with children. So where did the knowledge, all the financial knowledge come from so that you were able to start mm-hmm. this Money Honey University?
Yeah. So honestly, I was just blessed and fortunate to have the right mentors in my life. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that you start to draw to you the things that you're looking for. You know, the Bible says, seeking you shall find. Mm-hmm. And I really was looking for education. I was spending my time there. And the Lord saw fit to put a few very great mentors in my life. I don't know. Can I say their names?
Sure. Absolutely. If it'll help someone else that's watching.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mr. Seth Mitchell, he focuses on when it comes to credit, everything credit, okay. as far as getting your credit score in order, what builds your credit score, which I'm just like, we don't learn about that. If your parents didn't yeah. know about it, you wouldn't learn about
it. Not learning it in school.
Exactly. Right. And so initially when I started, it was just about getting the education out there. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, when we were dating, we used to sit, I had this old Grand Marquis, this big old wild car that's like, why is this girl driving this car? But we used to sit out in that car and talk to like 2-3 in the mm-hmm. morning about the changes we wanted to see in our community, and a lot of them are tied into finances. So like where you see the most liquor stores, where you see the most cash check places yeah. and these kind of derogatory uh-huh. businesses, that's really based on the credit score of the area. So that's where I first dove in, like, mm-hmm. let's teach people how to fix their credit scores.
Right.
It's like, okay, great. So we took the information. I can develop lesson plans and curriculum. Mm-hmm. So I just took that knowledge and transferred it into this arena. And then from there, we learned about taxes. And then from there, we learned about really not just budgeting, because I feel like so many people are like, yeah, I have a budget. It's like, right. okay, but have you looked at it? Is it, yeah. living, is it a living, breathing document based on the changes of your wants and your needs? Mm-hmm. As well as your income and your outgoing. So being able to take that and put it into a curriculum and then teach it to adults and watching them have success, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so why is it so important for women to know how to manage their finances?
Absolutely. I think so many times, especially believers, we tend to look at the Proverbs 31. You know, we forget that's not a real person. That was yeah. like a mom saying, this is what I want for my right. son. Right. Okay. So this is like the ideal woman, but a big part of that was really about finances. Right. You know, she looks to the field to see where it's good to buy. That's investing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm looking at the market and seeing what's out here for us to be able to multiply the money that my husband makes when he's gone. Right.
Right.
And to me, that's key. Not only for in a household aspect, I tend to focus on that because I have a family.
Right.
But I remember being a single mom and feeling like I needed someone to come save me or come help me, come sit down. You know, I saw someone had posted on Facebook, like, don't you ever just want God to sit on your bed and say, this is what I'm going to need you to do.
Do this. Exactly. Yes, come sit down with me.
Give me the whole blueprint, okay, Lord, because I don't get it. But, you know, and I remember feeling that way and feeling frustrated. So I do have a heart for single women as well as married women because they each have their own challenges, but they're both of them can be easily overcome with just some time of investing time to learn what are the right things to do to be able to get out of that space. For women, I mean, when we do have a family, we typically are in charge of the finances,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then wherever women go, the culture goes. So I believe that if I can touch a lot of women and teach them how to manage their money so that they're actually obtaining wealth over time, that's going to change the overall community. It's also going to change the standards that men hold themselves to, since a lot of times what they do is about impressing us, right? So that I think it's just key for every woman to have their own established, just like we want our men to have their own established.
So what are some of the, once you enroll into Money Honey University, like what are some of the topics that you touch on? Like where do you begin?
Yeah. So we really began with learning what are those bad habits that you've had. So when you first enroll, there's an assessment that you take. To me, the reason why a lot of times I see with my clients that we put off finances for so long is because we don't want to face those things that we did wrong. And it's like, no, I don't want anyone to know about
that. Yeah,
exactly. So to me, it's kind of, it's like, it's not really for me. It's more so for you to see, like, what are the areas that I'm weak? And I think the school culture tends to make us believe, oh, if I take a test, if I pass or fail, that means that I'm a failure in this area. But tests are really just designed to be assessments to say, okay, well, you need to study more here or you need more help here. So we start with that assessment because you might know all about budgeting, but you're just having trouble actually saving the money. Like you want to then go back and spend that money.
Right.
That's a whole different thing, you know, that you need to be taught through.
Mm-hmm.
You might have, maybe you don't make enough money, you know, so a lot of people are check to check and it's like, Lord, just give me $10,000. Let me get this come up real quick. It's like, no, because you have to learn how to manage what you have currently. Exactly. Even if it's just, you know, $10, $20, are you managing that appropriately? And a lot of times what I find is that, especially in our community, we've done all the cutting that we can do. It's really just about adding additional income and making sure you have the structure already to say, when this income comes in, it's going here. When this income comes in, it's going over here.
So you mentioned assessing like some of the bad habits. What bad habits are you finding?
I think for us mainly is when it's either being check to check, which means that you've probably settled for your current position, or you didn't interview as strongly when it came to, hey, how much do you want to make? You know, we all hear that question in the interview. And I think a lot of times we have this approach of, I want to say enough, you know, but I want to keep it low enough that I know that they'll hire me.
Yeah. Right. I've been through that.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm scared to say this number. It's what I really want, but they may not choose me. They think it's too, you know, too high.
If it's too high, But the truth is, a lot of times they're checking to see if you have a number in mind, and they're going to offer you the lowest that they can offer you to get you on the job.
Yeah.
And so we actually had a coaching session. We have one platform that's called Know Your Number. And we had a young lady who, she went through the process. She knew her number. So when she went to interview, they were like, oh, well, we start everyone off at 15. And she's like, that's great, but I need 1856 to be able to make this work for me and my family. And they actually offered her $19
an
hour.
Maybe even,
exactly, because she knew her her number. And that's an impressive thing that as an employer, you're like, oh, this person is intentional.
Right.
So being check to check is a bad habit, but it's really ties into knowing your self-worth. And so it's about, you know, forgive yourself, you know, maybe some mistakes were made. Let's forgive ourselves and let's look into the market to see what's available at your education level or at your skill level to get you where you need to be to match your number. Another bad habit is just overspending.
Overspending, yes.
Right? I treat yourself. That's what we call it, right? You swipe and just like a superhero, and that's not your account's not
swiping like a superhero.
Exactly. Like, that's my superpower, swiping. But your account's not set up that way, you know? So a lot of times it ties into just the habits that we have. And really, that's who makes us, that's what makes us who we are, is the habits that we have. So just shift those habits just a little bit.
Absolutely. So what would you say is best, to pay off all your debts before you start investing, or just start investing?
So I get this question a lot. I honestly believe that you should start investing first. And part of that is because a lot of that depends on what type of investing you're considering doing. So obviously I focus on foreign exchange and cryptocurrency trading, but I would suggest to look into any form of trading. Like I know a couple people here local that trade the stock market. That's different than going to your bank and purchasing a product.
Okay.
So if I go to the bank and I purchase a product and they're promising me 7%, but I'm paying 28% on my credit card, then that doesn't make sense, right? But if I at least have access to the right people that can teach me a skill like trading over time, that is going to put me in a position to multiply my little dollars and cents, you know, my little side pocket change. That's going to give me opportunity to multiply that, which then I can use to pay off my debt.
Right.
Does that make sense? So I think it really just depends on what you're ready for. And then to know for sure, like an investment product, typically you have to have at least $1,000. And that's for something like a CD that's going to give you 2% over a year. So you put in $1,000, you get 20. Okay. Right. No, that doesn't make sense. If you have, you know, an $800 credit card, just pay that credit card off. So it really depends on each individual profile, but overall, if you're in position to learn something that can be as lucrative as trading or investing in your own business, that is 100% of the time going to make more sense than trying to pay off your debt first.
Right.
Because a lot of times it takes us, you know, 10, 20 years to get into the debt that we have, and then you're expecting to try, okay, I'm going to pay it off in 2 years and then launch my business. Yeah. I'm going to pay it off in 2 years and then start investing. If you've already spent 10, 20 years as an adult building up that debt, you really don't have that much time left to get your act together,
right.
To leave a legacy or even or accomplish those goals that you've had in mind all the time that you've been working.
So now, how difficult is it to learn how to, you know, do cryptocurrency and foreign exchange? Is that something that you teach in Money Honey University? How would someone go about learning that?
That makes a lot of sense. So we have partnered with an online learning academy called IM Mastery Academy. And the reason why is because there's over 100 educators available there. And what I find that tends to be the make or break point, because when I first learned about foreign exchange, a girlfriend was teaching me. And I was like, girl, you can do this, but you can't teach it. Like, you know, we were trying to partner together and make worksheets. I'm like, this is not
working
out.
Because, see, math is not my thing.
Right, exactly.
And so I'm like, I would look at all those numbers, and I would just be like, ooh, I'm over this.
Exactly. And that's kind of, in our house, we say math with two Fs, like
math.
I don't know. And these kids got this new math. I'm like, okay.
That, I'm not ready for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm like, we're going to go to homework help center. Right,
listen, you're about to learn it the way I learned it.
Exactly. And I'm a literary. Like, I love to write. I love to read. And math is just not my
Same
thing.
Here.
But you'd be surprised, there is very little math associated.
Okay.
It's literally adding and subtracting.
Okay, I can do that.
Right, exactly. Adding and subtracting decimals. So if you're already trying to learn about finances, you're working with decimals anyway because you're working with money. And so it just tends to be right on the core with what you're already learning through Money Honey Academy. What I do, the thing is, like, for each person, your learning curve is going to be different, right? And it's really based on how much time. But I would say that if you could take an hour a day, 5 days a week, that you should definitely start learning how to invest in foreign exchange and cryptocurrency, because we're moving in that direction. Even if it's just crypto or just foreign exchange or just the stock market, get into some education and invest in yourself.
Yeah, so I know you and your husband, you offer like a in-person class in Columbus.
Yes. We have the Columbus Trade Lounge, which we co-founded with another couple, the Moore family here in Columbus, Ohio. And what we really wanted to do was create a touch point for people who wanted to at least come out, kind of get your hands on to see, like, what is foreign exchange, to learn it's not about math. It really works a lot with charting and drawing lines, to be honest with you. And to me, it's just kind of like, if you've ever had to write a letter where you put that straight edge and you're like, all your G's are cut off, you know, it's really like that, to be honest. And, but we just want to give people a touch point where they could come in and literally see what we're doing and say, you know, oh, I can do this. Or, and in my opinion, see how easy it can be, especially when you link up with people who can be supportive of you learning that.
Right. Okay, that's really good information. So recently, I read a list of questions to ask yourself if you want to be more frugal. And one question was, what else am I giving up by spending my money on this? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would, you know, have your students at Money Honey University consider before they?
Yes, I think that that's a great question to ask. A lot of times there's two things come to mind, and I can be a little long-winded, so feel free to
come in.
Two things come to mind. Whenever I'm shopping, before I look at the tag on something, I'll say, like, I like this about $10 worth. And then if I flip the tag and it's $12, I'm like, okay, put it back. Because I only
And you're
said,
not like, oh, it's only $2 more?
No.
Okay.
Because
I would say it's only $2 more.
Exactly. But when you learn, like, about investing as far as, like, trading, you know exactly what you can do with $2 in the market. Ooh. $2 in the market is like a fortune, you know.
Really?
Exactly. So, and it can... Because you tend to, as you get this education, you look at your money a lot differently. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, your kids are out, hey, can I have this candy bar? It's like, but if I buy you one, I got to buy three more one. You know, so now that becomes a $5 thing versus just a dollar thing, right? And with my kids, it's like, okay, you got to share your goals so that you can always go back to that. So it's not like, no, you can't have that. It's like, okay, do we want the candy bar or do we want to put $5 more in our investment for our new home, right? And they're all invested in that goal. So it's like, we could put $5 for the new house. It's like, yeah, or have the candy, like, which one? And we still got candy at home, you know. That makes it more of a tie-in, and now you're teaching them money principles.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things that we have picked up, bad habits, bad philosophies about money, that we just picked up from being around it. Like, oh, if I don't spend money, then I'm going to have money. But you tend to be your most brokest when you're like, ugh.
Especially around the holidays.
Exactly.
Those bad habits, putting stuff on a layaway, using your credit card. Like, what are some tips that you have if you're trying to save for, I don't know, a trip or for the holidays to get gifts and presents?
Mm-hmm. I would suggest not to start at the holidays. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, shoot, it's October. Uh-huh. Like, you know, Christmas coming right around. And then, too, like, tap into what are the real reasons for the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really not a lot of the shopping and buying. And if you do a little bit of research about it, it really becomes sickening. You're like, I can't believe I participate all this time. And do I really want to create this same cycle for my kids? And that's something that my husband and I had to come to terms with. Like, you know, well, they'll feel like they're missing out. You know, I don't want them to feel like they're missing out. But are we missing out on creating wealth by putting, you know, $1,200, $1,500 into this holiday?
Listen.
And we're doing these huge giveaway at the end of March anyway, where stuff is broken or they're like, I'm uninterested. Because we have to remember, we put them in front of the TV. There's a lot of hype around a lot of the things, and they don't work the way they appear that they're going to work. Right.
And that's definitely my philosophy when it comes to my children, because, for example, my son, he just had his third birthday last week.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever someone asks me what to get them for, like, birthdays or holidays, I'm like, you can do books.
Right.
Or you can, because I have college funds for them.
I was
like, you can invest in their college funds or savings. Speaking of, I have 529 college funds, so I'm starting to get to this point where I'm like, well, what if they decide they want to do something different, like, besides going to college?
Right.
Should I invest in something else? Like, if there's a parent out there that's like 529 or, I don't know, like a Roth IRA, or what should I do?
So,
what would you suggest as a mom?
All I can suggest is what I've done, right?
Because
I'm not a financial advisor, what I've decided as a mom, we did have a 529 account, and they can, there's stipulations that they can use it for other things. It's just specific other things. So you have to check in with your specific account to see what they're able to do. One of the things that we decided to do was pull out life insurance policies that would then give them a payout of the premiums over the time that we put into it. So, for example, hopefully my kids don't see this, but now my oldest, we started pretty late. So hers is when she's 28, but the other kids, when they're 25, everyone gets a payout of about $25,000. And to me, it's kind of like, okay, you're established. You at least have a good idea of what you want to do. And then that could be money for a down payment for a home. That could be money for, you know, whatever. Things. And there's no stipulation on that because they're just receiving the cash payout. So that's something I would recommend because the premiums are really low. It builds up over time as your child gets older. And I would really, as a culture, like to see us get to a place where that's the type of things you're bringing to a baby shower, like not diapers.
Yes.
Like, hey, I bought your child this policy. I'll pay on it, you know, for 10 years. And then they can take it over or something like that. But yeah.
Well, thank you. I wanted to ask one last question. What would you say your money philosophy is?
My money philosophy is, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So don't overpay your taxes. Okay. If you're getting a tax return, that means you're overpaying all year long and probably also accumulating debt in the process to make up for that loss. And then also it's taxed again when you get your tax refund. So you're literally allowing them to tax your money twice while you're not receiving any interest where you could be investing that money because you're doing without it anyway. The other thing would be to...
Yeah, you think about it that way.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So we do teach on that at the Trade Lounge because it's really about all-around entrepreneurship and trading. So getting yourself in a better position. Because, like I said, most people are check to check, and it's not necessarily their fault. It's just things that they've learned over time. We focus on forgiving yourself for the past so that you can now build a better future for yourself. The other thing is always invest first. Like, my husband, there's times where he's like, he doesn't even have anxiety, but he's like, since I've married you. Exactly. But always invest first. And the reason why is because you'll always see a return. You know, there's a principle of sowing and reaping. And because it's the word of God, it'll always return to you. And if you take the time to do that, whether it's your own business, right, whether it's trading or whether it's an actual investment account or something like a life insurance policy, that will always return to you versus, I mean, I wouldn't say have your lights cut off and get kicked out your house, right? But if it's the difference between that and maybe buying a new outfit because you haven't treated yourself in a while or taking your kids out to eat versus eating in, then always make that investment a priority because you'll never find extra money to do it. You have to say, this money is dedicated to that.
Wow, that was really, really good information. Thank you so much for coming on Teachers TV today. And I want you guys to continue the conversation on managing your money on social media. So make sure you're following on Facebook and on Instagram. And until next time, stay cheap and in charge. Wow, Nikkei dropped some nuggets on this episode. Hey, take a screenshot, post it to your stories, letting me know what you learned in this episode. Make sure you tag me at Shalina Foltz on Instagram. And if you enjoyed this episode, please give it 5 stars and leave a review. Don't be selfish, share it with a friend. You never know who needs to hear it. Thank you for tuning in to the Shalina Foltz Talk Show, and never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough.
If you enjoyed this episode, please give it 5 stars and leave a review. And don't be selfish. Share it with a friend. You never know who needs to hear it. Thank you for tuning in to the Shalana Foles Talk Show. And never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough.